Okay, now it's time to do the interim result briefing. Thank you very much for your time and your dedicated interest and support over the past years. So this morning, we would like to present you with Homago Financial Year 2019 interim results. The company has experienced a memorable period and recorded steady growth in the first half of financial year 2019. And today, we have senior management team of the company is delighted to introduce the results with all of you. So here on the main stage, we have Chairman, President, and Executive Director of Homago, Mr. Liu Jianguo, Liu Zong. Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Veronica Bian. Okay, I truly believe that all of you have met with all of us, and we will just let's begin the meeting with our chairman, Ms. Liu, to give us a short speech. Liu Zong,
请用耳机。这个各位大家早上好啊，也欢迎各位投资者、分析师来到我们的现场。然后这个参加我们这个会议，我想今天关心我们的人都是对我们一如既往的支持的人啊，有很多老的朋友，很多新的朋友，对你们一如既往的支持表示感谢，感谢大家。不好意思的就是没让你们赚到钱了，这个以后会的啊，这个我们努力的把自己的业绩做好，业绩做好以后，这个大环境不好的情况下，我们也要。这个一进不出要表现好一点啊。那么红马从上市以来呢，也是在注重各种的产品的这个性能的提升，也是始终忠于啊这个日本的工匠精神和整个的这个传统的工艺，那么以及手工制造的各种的这个品味啊。那么截止到9月30日的半年度，整个的公司也加大整个的品牌的投入。也邀请了这个现在全球顶级的这个 PGA 的高尔夫的选手，这个担任我们的品牌 Plus。 那以前呢，我们还是很务实的，就是说你花很多的钱，那些动不动就按百万美金计的这个代言费啊，你如果欧美市场如果没有正儿八经启动的话，你这个投的钱等于是一会就不见了。我就讲你分他的每一天呢花很多钱。那么这次呢，这个我们这个请了全球第一了，现在第一的这个男选手，我们讲一讲也无所谓，但是不能提名字，就是这个英国人，最好的一个球手。然后，但是我们的合约是从2019年的1月1日开始的，这还差一个多月了，但是我们因为什么做这样的一个布局呢？因为我们美国的市场已经布局好了。我们今天早上这个我们也发了公告，这个聘请那个这个 Marking 啊，是高尔夫行业很有这个。很有人气、很有这威望的一个职业经理人，作为我们这个统管这个美国的市场的一个这个工作。那么这样的话呢，就是我们把网络布局好了，把这团队布局好了，那我们再推一把这个在品牌推广上面花点钱，那是值得的，马上见效。这个很简单，这个高尔夫包括体育的产业对广告的依赖性是非常之强的。就看好了有嘛就买了，买了就生意就出来了啊！就我们，而且这个是高毛利的产品，只要多卖，不满的这个毛利是摆在那，因为它品牌的定位已经决定了这个方向啊。那么呢，我们也会结合一些这个我们的网站啊、电子的这个社交媒体啊，整个的对于全球的这个品牌的这个重塑啊，提高我们自己的品牌的这个活力和整个的形象。所以呢，这一点呢，我们最近做了很多的工作，估计都会显现出来有一定的一个效果啊。那么公司也制定了这个一个明确的一个计划，借助红马过去60年在亚洲积累的渠道的这个经验，计划在未来的2年呢，也全面的提升这个零售的经验，包括形象，包括整体的这个设计，包括商业的和其他的一些的东西来吸引，我们可能。跟新一代的这个年轻人喜欢高尔夫，可能现在很多人觉得打高尔夫这个有点浪费时间啊什么，我们都花更多的时间吸引这个新的这个一些这个年轻人，做出一些更有意思的吸引高尔夫这个业界人士的一些东西。那么呢，我们呢也深信这一系列的这个投入和改变都会大大的推动红马品牌的市场 以及高尔夫这个年轻高尔夫人群中间的知名度和口碑，使这个60年的品牌呢，这个历久弥新啊，发扬光大。那么呢，明天开始我们是这个香港公开赛，这个22号到25号啊。那么这次呢，我们冠名赞助了这个香港公开赛，也是一个机缘巧合，我们也觉得是非常好的一件事情。因为空马60年，香港公开赛也在粉岭举办了60年。啊，这个都有很好的一个契机，因为这个也是花钱的，讲实话，这个也是花钱，都是按$100,000去掏的钱。但是我们觉得这个只要这个事情对整个品牌的这个推广发展有作用，我们也还是很舍得花这个钱。那么今天开始打配对赛，后面的4天就是正式的比赛啊。我因为大家都可能在香港，可能也会看到了地铁啊，这个车站啊，这个有很多的一些宣传。那么他们也希望，这个以前是 UBS 一直赞助了很多年这个香港公开赛，他们也一直认为，这后马以后你们也可以给我们搞好多年，因为后马的品牌赞助这个比赛呢，等于是给他加分的啊，总体来讲是给他加分的，因为后马是一个大家觉得哎呀很高端的一个品牌，然后赞助这个东西比什么其他的什么啤酒啊，可能这个什么牙膏啊赞助他这个冠名赛会有很大的差异啊。那么也希望这个你们如果有空的话去这个看看比赛，我们有个这个 VIP 的帐篷啊，到里面可以坐一坐吃饭啊，欢迎大家去。那么我这里大致的情况就这样，那么我们也这个希望这个大家一如既往的对后马有个更大的一些支持和提出一些好的一些建议啊。那么下面我们边总给大家介绍一下这半年度的一些财务的状况。
Hello everyone, my name is Veronica. So in view of the fact that we have quite a mixture of investors this morning, so I'll be just giving the speech in English in case you have no other suggestions. So now I'm just going to take you through the slide. As you see that our presentation today is being divided into 3 parts.We are going to talk about the overview, how well we did in the first half, as well as the outlook on the full year. So if you flip to page 4, you will see a high-level overview, as we always, about the financials of the company. You have seen that we grew by 9.3% on a nominal basis in the first half as compared to the 6-month period last year. Comparably, the growth rate is about 9.5%. Gross margin has been relatively stable,and then stood at 59.1%, which is 0.3% up from the year before. In terms of operating margin, operating profit grew by 25.67%, and net operating profit grew by 15.4%. Operating profit margin was about 17.7%, and net operating profit margin was about 12.4%, each showing a visible improvement from the same period last year.In terms of net profit, it grew by 92%, primarily due to positive currency revaluation results. Net profit margin was 18.6%, which also stepped up by 8 percentage points as compared to the year before. The reported earnings per share grew by the same percentage because the number of shares between this period and the last period didn't really change.And as all of you have seen from the announcement that we circulated this morning, we will be distributing an interim dividend, which is about 1.75 JPY per share, and that works out to about 3% on a full year basis dividend yield. So now we are moving to slide 5. So this is a high level overview of where we stood.So we continue to invest into our craftsmen. We have 294 craftsmen in our Sakata factory. Our branded self-operated store came down slightly as compared to the year before, but as Mr. Luke just mentioned, we are revamping the retail consumer journey as we speak. So you will be seeing a lot more bigger, in simple terms, bigger, larger, and more representative stores, let's say in the next 2 years.And we will be showing you some of the renderings in the next pages. And the third party retail sales point has grown to 3,600 as we continue to expand in most of the other countries and as we deepen our partnership with third party retailers. and the products are being sold in 50 countries across the globe. So when you look at the first half of revenue, the three pie charts basically show the revenue mix by product category, by region, and also by channel. So at the time when we got ourselves listed, we drive about 55% of the sales from third-party retail channels, or what we call wholesalers or distributors sometimes. And now this percentage has jumped to 75%. So I would like to highlight on this point, because when you look at our sales growth, you will have to remember that we continuously suffer from a negative mix impact, because what we sell through the third-party retail channel comes in at a lower sales for us, so it's not like for like. So when you look at, for example, the first half, 9.3% sales growth, in fact, our third-party retail sales growth on a comparable basis was 27%. So in that sense, you will see that we are accelerating the penetration through third-party retailers in order to appeal to the younger and also avid golfers. By region, Japan continued to contribute to 51% of the value share, but this percentage has been coming down as Japan is growing at a lower pace than the other markets. China and Korea each accounted for 15% of the total sales. Rest of the world has been growing tremendously, primarily from Southeast Asia. For those of you who will be participating in the Hong Kong Open this afternoon in the Pro-Am, you will also have the chance to engage with our distributors from Southeast Asia and also get a feeling of their aspiration of the brand, their vision of the brand in Southeast Asia. In US and Europe, they have been gaining shares, but still relatively small. I think at the time when we were listed, they were each contributing to 3% of the value share. Now they are growing to 4% and also 5.6%. In total, in terms of the product category, we still drove a super majority of the sales from the clubs, which is 81.5%, but it's also coming down from the 85% which we were at the time of listing. This is showing our continued effort to nurture the non-club product categories as we go by. So now if we move to slide 4, you will see, let's say, a very high level overview of the revenue, gross profit margin, operating profit, as well as the net operating profit. So we have listed here for easy reference the record from the last 2-3 years, as well as the comparison of first half 2018 and 2019. The lines, which is inside the bar, is basically showing the respective percentages. So I'm not going to hang out on this page because you are very, very familiar and we have introduced this slide already. So when you go to the next slide, slide 7, this is a high-level overview of the operating cash flow as well as the capital structure. You will see that as compared to the first 6 months of last year, the net operating cash flow has improved tremendously by 42%, thanks to continued improvement of the working capital primarily and also steady cash flow from the operations. Cash on hand also grew by 30% as compared to March 31st, 2018. Interest-bearing liability has stepped up by 20%, primarily because of full year dividend that we were paying. So for those of investors whom we have not been talking bilaterally, I will need to say that the dividends are being paid from the lowest operating units, and therefore Japan being the largest subsidiary of HOMA, they will have to dividend up to the holding before dividends can be paid to the shareholders. So we have been tapping, let's say, to the low interest rate financing in Japan, and therefore, let's say, the interest-bearing liability has grew on the group level, even though that we are rich in cash on the group level. The interest, the gearing now stood at 10.6% as compared to 5.2% the year before, and also 8.9% as at March 31st, 2018. So, relatively low, I think, for most of the investors. Slide 8 is the overview about the three working capital indicators, receivables, payables, and inventories. So the receivable days has come down tremendously by 20 days as compared to the end of March this year. The payable days stepped up by 5 days, relatively slow, but you will see improvements as we move along. I think we have mentioned to some of you that we are reorganizing our supplier management system, so from process to team, and also to how we choose and select suppliers. Not that our suppliers are not good, but it's just the way that we deal with our suppliers are very, very Japanese, if you will. I think very nice. We just accept whatever terms that the supplier proposes. So this is going to change, and you will see some increases in our payable days, and therefore the working capital will continue to improve. In terms of the inventory days, it has gone up by 16 days as compared to the end of March 2018. That was primarily due to the inload of raw materials and finished goods ahead of the new product launches. So for those of you that are based in Japan, you will see a massive campaign on 747 from 26th of November onwards. And for those of you who will be participating in the program this afternoon, you will also have a chance to play with our new 747. As a special event. Now on slide 10, so this is where we wanted to give you some color on how business has been doing in the first half. So in terms of sales growth, we wanted to call out specifically that 06 grew by 23%, Bizio grew by 18%. So these two products, we have renewed the products in the second half last year. So the results that you saw in the first half is basically a confirmation of the acceptance of both products in the market. And the US and Europe, let's say, you must have seen the announcement this morning where we announced the further implementation of our US strategy, the hiring of Mark King, the former CEO of TaylorMade, to drive and lead the sales growth in the US, and also the retention of a top PGA player to further drive the brand awareness and also product awareness in all the Caucasian markets. In terms of the third-party retail sales, as we said, in spite of the 9.3% growth, the third-party retail sales grew by 27%, once again reconfirming our continued strategy and effort to penetrate into the avid younger golfer segment. Non-clubs golf balls grew tremendously by 48%. We continue to drive sales growth in golf balls by focusing on the three home markets, namely Japan, China, and Korea, by separating the sales team, by implementing a dedicated marketing strategy for the golf balls. We have also, as you see in the subsequent slides, prioritized our product lines. We have had a very tactical product line in the past. Now we are focusing on four golf products, resonating what we are doing on the clubs, with completely redone packaging, to attract consumer attention and also our shelf space appeal. So golf balls, as we see, will continue to grow, as you have seen in the last couple of years. And for the apparels, the first half sales growth were only 5%. That was ahead of the SS19 launches. We have done a very successful trade show in Japan in July, and the pre-book quantities that we received for SS19 doubled what we have received from all the other SS collections in the past. So you will be seeing quite some visible improvements in the apparel sales from the next financial year, because SS19 will be launched in January and therefore only affecting the financial results of the last quarter of the current financial year. And then I think I wanted to spend some time on the Homework brand. I think for those of you who have been covering us or following us since the beginning of the IPO, you have made complaints at times that the brand perception has been different. So we are making a lot of efforts to realign the brand perception. So steering away from, maintaining the positioning in the super premium segment, and then appearing to be younger, more relevant. So what we have done is we have retained, two marketing agencies to help us redefine the brand value. We have completely restructured the websites. We have completely restructured the websites. I think when you wander around the websites, please feel free to give us your comments, because this is an ongoing, effort that we are making. We are still adding a lot of SOE strategies, social media strategies, trackings on the website, so you will see continued improvements. We are also doing, a revamp of our retail experiences, and as we said, we will be showing you some of the renderings. For those of you who have been to our shops, you will see that this is a major step up of how we look and feel today. So now let's move to slide 11. So this is a further dive into the three home markets. So Japan grew by 3.3%,
and yet sales from third-party channels grew by 17%. We would also like to call out the fact that golf ball sales grew by 22% in Japan alone, and we are expecting the growth rates to accelerate in the second half as we launch two new products in Japan in the second half. So China and Hong Kong, so the number of stores came down dramatically as compared to the year before, and this is being reflected in the sales growth. So we have been revamping and also readjusting the footprint in China ahead of the new SS launch. We have also closed one store in Hong Kong, but in 3 months' time, you will be seeing two and also new stores in Hong Kong. So we have just hired a space in Admiralty, where I think for those of you who work in Central will have the chance to wander and also test our products in Admiralty. And we will also revamp the store in Causeway Bay to be in line with the overall brand image and also how we implement the retail space in Japan. And for Korea, again, a wonderful growth in the first half, 34%. We are also rebuilding the South Korean, let's say, sales team. We have hired a very senior guy from Thailand, Korea. He has come on board since 2 months. We are now in the process of rebuilding our team. I think going forward, we intend to basically continue our partnership with Colon on Club. We will be running the ball sales ourselves, and we will grow the apparel business by ourselves. And therefore, Korea, as a market, will continue to drive sales growth on a group level. Slide 12 is about US and also Europe. I think US, on the back of the, if I'm not mistaken, 160% growth last year, which was a very high base, US grew by 7% in the first half. So the US is moving into a phase two growth strategy, if you will. I think in the phase one, we have been primarily relying on the Barrett's products, which is something that we will continue to drive awareness, drive sales growth. But in the US, and also with Mark King coming on board for the last 3 months, we have realigned or revisited our US growth strategy in that we wanted to tap into two consumer segments, which is the super premium and the premium performance. And the PGA Tour player that Mr. Liu just mentioned is the best candidate to represent us in both segments, super premium and premium performance. So the US will be moving into a major launch of the 747 in January, so 2 months later than the product activation in Asia, because we are waiting for the new ambassador to basically play with our new products in his first game ever in 2019. And then there will be a lot of marketing campaigns around it. I think we have received very positive feedback from retailers that we have. We will also, as we move along, relocate the headquarters to Carlsbad. I think for those of you who do play golf, you would know that Carlsbad is almost like the center, the epic center of the golf industry. So we will be right next to all the major brands. We will also build in Carlsbad a second home with R&D marketing capabilities, and Mark being, let's say, the overarching director down there. So there is more to be expected in the US as we move along. In Europe, we continue the growth, so growing by 1.7 times. And this growth, let's say, will peter down in on a full-year basis because we had a relatively small, let's say, starting point last year. On a full-year basis, we expect Europe to more or less double what we have achieved in last year. And this growth will continue as we drive awareness in the US because Europe is almost like following the footstep of Europe is almost following this footstep of the US in the golf industry. So when you move to slide 13, this is the rendering that we have been talking about. So these are the elevated plans of the two new stores in Japan. So going forward, we will reclassify our retail space into the so-called flagship store. So flagship store is where the brands are being, awareness is being driven. And we have the community store. Community store is where people are being attracted to. So as a whole family, you will see from the two renderings that we will have space for, let's say, for the daddy to play, to test the new products, for the family to hang out, and also for the kids to really get some experience with our, let's say, kids club, and also with some driving and putting experiences. So it's going to be very, very social, well-netted, where the brand will speak to the consumer as one place. And our intention with all the rebranded store is to prolong, let's say, the time that the consumer will stay in each of the individual store. So other than the flagship store, the community store, we will also be opening a shop-in-shop with our own brands. I think today, if you have visited our shop-in-shop, you will see that we are limited in terms of space and also marketing and brand awareness in the store. So this is going to change. And the next thing is, of course, the outlets. I think we have never used outlets in the past, but as we grow the apparel business, I think outlets is a very, very important channel to really move the old stuff. So the apparel will be marketed in outlets, but then in our own visual design. I think the next page, we have covered a lot. I think this is the mind segmentation product positioning strategy that we have. And also some highlights, you know, of the three club categories and their respective growth in the first half. So it's much higher than the overarching growth. And club sales grew by 8% in total. So on slide 15, these are some, let's say, high-level illustrations of how well the ball business and also the accessory business is gearing up. I think you will see to the lower left-hand side the new packaging of the balls. I think in the past, when you look at our packagings, they were all coming with different designs, with different, you know, brand languages, design languages. So from now on, they will be clearly, you know, emphasizing on the home run, and then, you know, with designs that are really looking like each other. And then we will also, from now on, focus on three main product lines for the super premium segment, for the premium performance segment, and also for the entry level segments. So on the highlights, I think over the last 2 years, we have been driving ball sales growth in quantity almost by doubling our sales growth on a year-on-year basis. And the apparels, we will continue to, let's say, work on the SS19. We have also started the preparation for Fall-Winter 19, leveraging the upstream capabilities of ITOCHO, as some of you have been aware of. So slide 16 is, let's say, illustration of how we want to continue, let's say, resource to win. So SG&A, I think once again for us, is a cost, but it's also a reinvestment. I think you have seen and also heard from Mr. Liu about the various investments that we are making into the brand, into our tour assets. I think some of you have already asked the question why SG&A has remained almost constant as a percentage of sales. I think this is going back to our principal strategy of resource to win. So take tour strategy as an example. At the time when we listed ourselves in Hong Kong, we have about 33 players in Asia. At that time, Asia contributed to 85% of the top line. So the 33 player has been a major asset in us driving the awareness in tour world and etc. So tour world, when it was launched in 2013, it contributed to zero sales. And today it has already contributed to close to 30% of the sales. So these Asia tour players have played a major and instrumental role in the driving of the tour world brand awareness and also the Homer brand in this premium segment, premium performance segment. But then over time, as we move into other product categories, we need pros that speaks for the brand across different markets in the premium and also premium performance segment. So we have identified the tour player that Mr. Liu just mentioned. He's coming on board in January. But then ahead of this time, we have already, as at the end of last year, reduced the Asian tour players to 16 from 33. So we are releasing a lot of the resources for, let's say, the retention of a top player. And then those of you who are actually tracking our news have been coming to me as well, asking whether we are retaining more PGA Tour players. My question, my feedback to you is yes, but we cannot name them as yet. So by the time, let's say, when you see our full year results, you will see that we will be reducing the Asia Tour player to about 4 in Japan, 2 in China. But then over and above the so-called local players, we will be adding a very rich and also influential global players that drive the brand image across the different markets. And then we will also build below the local players a very rich layer of social, let's say, influencers. So these can be celebrities, can be people, each market that you're relating to. So going forward, it's not going to be just one, let's say, tour asset. It's going to be a number of different tour assets that drives the brand consistently across different markets. So that's, you know, why you are not seeing a lot of jump following the appointment of the PGA player and etc. So if we go to the next slide, maybe I would like to just give you some highlights on slide 20 being the last one, and then we will open the floor to take questions. So what's coming in second half 2019, I think you see that we are sponsoring Hong Kong Open. Once again, welcome, and please do join us in Hong Kong Open. For those who hasn't got the time to join us or register yourself, please come to me or Julia. We are happy to take you to the site. We will also launch the Tour World 747. So it's a major product that we are expecting. In Japan alone, the pre-book that we received actually doubled in terms of quantity of what we received for 737. So 747 is coming with a very rich cosmetics, with a very different marketing strategy, but also with a very clear, visible step up in the performance. For the first time, we are introducing clubs with adjustability. So we have been denying denying the consumer needs for adjustability, because technically adjustability isn't really the thing. But then, you know, as we move along and also conquering US and also Europe, we are adding adjustability to 747, and please come and join us to test this new product. And there will be also, let's say, one, maybe even more PGA Tour players coming and then driving the brand awareness. So I'm just going to make a pause here before I talk for too long, and then I would like to open the floor for questions.
好，感谢刘总和李总的介绍。Thanks, Mr. Liu and Veronica's introduction. So now we welcome questions from all of you. Present.
Thank you for taking my question. I'm calling from Dialogue. 首先我有两个问题想请教卢总的。第一个问题可能是关于我们的那个今年的品牌升级其实做得蛮好的，然后随着我们的品牌这个知名度越来越强的时候，那我们之后对于我们广告费用或者是赞助费用会不会慢慢再提高？第二个问题就是关于我们中国市场，有一个这个明显是最我们这么多市场最弱的一个。那我请教这对中国我们的展望是怎么看的？好，谢谢。
好，谢谢。第一个呢，这个广告费用呢，我们还是很慎重的。我刚才也讲了，就是因为我们前两年在欧美没有布局好的时候，就完全没有这个广告的投入。因为为什么呢？我是做消费品出身的，也是做品牌出身的，对这方面的把控能力特别强。就当时我们做很小的时候就敢投广告，就是有把握的情况才能投。但是呢，在前提就是在你渠道没有布局好的情况下，在团队和产品没有准备好的情况下，你投广告是白投的。我们当时就举个例子，你比如在中国的中央电视台投了很多广告，人家消费者拿着你的品牌去找，根本就找不到你的买的终端，那你这个钱是白花的。那过一会儿他就忘记了，过两个月他就忘记了，不会再找你的东西了。所以这个东西我们是非常慎重的。所以呢，我刚才讲了为什么我们以前都没有签一个欧美选手，因为太贵了，第一个太贵了，都几百万美金的，对不对？你就是每天都是按这个美金算，不管刮风下雨照样付钱的啊。那么就是说在这种的情况下面，我们还是这个把预算管得非常的严格。那么刚才讲了，你会很庞大的这个广告费用的支出，我们通常都会控制在一定的比例，现在是三还是
十三
那么如果是这个控制在一定的比例里面去花这个钱，我们还是比较有相对比较有把握的。所以因为我们这个考虑的很清楚，就是说不能乱花钱。我最怕的就是乱花钱，而且特别在美国一花钱那都是花美金的。我们讲100万，他可能就花100万美金，这个我们很可怕。特别是广告费是这样，去了就回不来了，然后你说品牌倒是沉淀在后面的事，但是人家是用 N 多年的东西在积累的事。我们要的广告的投入还是要放销售回来，销售回来利润就回来啊。这个是第一个，这个广告费的事。第二个，关于中国市场呢，中国的市场呢，这个第一个就是说八项规定以后确实有很大的一个影响，但是呢我们也没有那么太多的悲观。当然就是没有我们预期的，原来如果不是八项规定，后面今年的业绩肯定不是，就现在的这个业绩肯定不是这样的一个状态。当时我们并购的时候就是讲，哇塞，这个一来把中国的翻几番，就整个我们，因为我们总体的销售规模还是这个不是特别的巨大嘛，就是说这个肯定会非常的这个爆发性的增长。但是中国呢确实就是这几年
还是受到了一些这个办运会的这个影响。但这几年呢，反而来讲呢，最大的约束瓶颈不是打球人口的这个问题，是球场的数量问题。就中国现在不是说打球的人没有，现在很多的白领企业主他打球是不受这个八项规定的这个约束的，但是呢球场数量太少了，全中国14亿人才500个不到的球场，你去哪里打，就是练习场也不够。所以呢国家呢对这个高尔夫的这个管控的这个趋势呢，造成了这个行业的发展的一些，但现在慢慢的转型了。那为什么很多的练习场就慢慢开放了，就是说可以设练习场，他觉得不下场打时间短一点，就是练习场也都是
做。这是你的预约，在中。
然后这个总体的来讲，这个未来高尔夫的这个业态，因为你很多白领很喜欢，它是很好的一个运动的方式，就是可以从小打到老，啊。但是这样的话呢，就是我们好在整体的轰马中国的销售的比率还是非常低的。15左右，就是总体的在全球的占比还是比较小，所以呢，我们今年还是盯住美国、欧美发力，这个一发力比中国大得多。中国现在才100万高尔夫人口不到，实际上才真正的来讲是50万左右。那美国有2800万的高尔夫人口，有16000个球场，中国是500个，还被铲掉了一个，可能就400多个。在球场，所以这个比例，我们在美国如果一发力，特别是 Martin 加入以后，他是非常资深的，在美国的这个一个高尔夫的行业中间的一个人士，所以呢，我们对美国的这个期望值啊，未来是非常大。所以今年一来的时候，也做了一些这个对渠道这个布局的一些调整，包括有些货品啊、老货啊，都把它出掉，把它市场屁股擦得干干净净，啪，给他一个新的白纸。所以今年所以看不到我们美国有很好的这个利好的消息都没关系，我说这个我们做事情是一步一步来的，你不要着急，给他一张白纸，啪，他的所有的疑虑问题全搞干净，搞干净了以后，他在上面画出的话才是美的。所以我们基于这个中国和美国，比如说或者欧洲和欧美的来讲，欧美的力度如果是真正的发力的话，比中国市场大得多，因为它需求大。
好，谢谢。
啊
，If I may, can I ask a couple questions to Veronica. So regarding U.S., last year clearly was a year of the channel sell-in. So you know, obviously it was a very strong year. In the second half, when we obviously pushed Tour World strongly in that region, should we expect a re-celebration in U.S.? And can you quantify some of the pre-books right now? And I know you said very strong, but just want to get a sense of how strong Tour World is on the pre-book level. And secondly, for the new series, how are the gross margins compared with previously? Are the ASPs slightly higher? Are margins comparable with previous? And thirdly, on inventory days, I can see that, you know, this is slight uptick. I guess this is, you know, more to do with Tour World, but I just want to clarify that. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. So I'm going to take the three questions individually. So on US, yes, we doubled our sales in last year. I think I wouldn't use the term sell-in. Well, we do sell-in, but they're also selling out as well. I think US, we have been, let's say, readjusting our sales growth target for this year from what we previously communicated with you in for two reasons. First and foremost, I think the revisiting our strategy. I think the US strategy in the past has been very, very heavily relying on various series, because the team was very confident that we can conquer the US market by just focusing on the niche market, the super premium market, by marketing, let's say, various products. I think there has been a change with Mark King coming on board and with us, you know, really bouncing thoughts with him for the last 3 years. So as of today, we already have signed off a 3 years plan, starting from the year onwards. This plan is going to, let's say, rely on two main products. One is the Bearers, which will continue to drive the aspirations and also the brand positioning in the super premium segment. The other will be the Tour World. So for Tour World, we are actually launching a new series, let's say interim series in the US next year following the Gen launch. That will be more, let's say, for the US and also for the European Caucasian markets. We are expecting a lot of feedback from there. So I think one is a
a revisiting of the product strategy, and the other is a revisiting of the distribution strategy. I think we have been telling you in the past that in the US and also Europe, we don't intend to open any of our, let's say, retail stores or own the retail space. I think we are shifting away slightly from that strategy in that when we look deep down into the US and also based on the agreed positioning in super premium, also premium performance, we realized that we couldn't succeed or disrupt the market by just operating with, let's say, the PGA Superstore, with Worldwide Golf and the like, because then we will just become another TaylorMade and Callaway, if I can name them. I think we wanted to control consumer data, we wanted to own the complete consumer journey. So in that sense, in the US from now on, after the relocation to Carlsbad, we will be opening the first Home at Home in Carlsbad, right next to our office in a very, very nice area. And we will therefore also implement in the next 2 years, 3 Home at Home in the US, about 70 shop and shop in 20 major cities, and also about, let's say, 70 what we call concierge, so Greengrass stores, separate home at Greengrass stores on the course. So we are focusing on 20 cities in the US. In each city, we will have a few concierge where we can receive the goods, you know, and also our customers when they play. We will also conquer the major shelf space in the US major cities in the third-party retailers, and then drive the brand awareness in the home at home. So these two will basically cause a readjustment of our sales outlook on the US. So we are expecting sales to be flat as compared to the year before, let's say on the conservative side. But then we will continuously drive sales up as we communicated with you for the 3 years going forward under the leadership of marketing. So that's the first question. The second question on pre-book, I think 747 was activated in Japan up to now. So in the past, I think for those of you who play golf would know that we are very much an iron company. So we drove a super majority of our sales from iron. So I think club is something very, very interesting because they are sold at higher ASP, and the repeat purchase is higher because irons you can use a lot longer, but woods you need to change every 2 years because they're new technology and the products does get wear out. So we have actually lowered the ASP of the woods. So from the traditional, let's say, 799, let's say the lowest price points, to about 599. But on the other hand, let's say during the pre-book, you have seen that the wood, let's say, sales contribution has already increased from the past 20% to the 35%, in spite of the ASP drop. So the total, let's say, pre-book in terms of quantity on a six-month basis have exceeded, in Japan alone, have exceeded 737 by 2 times. And then on the SS19, the pre-book happened in Japan for the Japanese market in July this year. And the quantity also doubled what we actually, let's say, usually typically achieve in the year before. So that's about pre-book. Did I forget any questions?
No.
Can you
give
a comment on the inventory?
Oh, yes, yes, true. So the inventory, there is indeed an uptake, as we mentioned. I think as compared to March end, this is primarily because of the inload of raw materials, and so the, let's say, the 747. So inventory is going to be a continued journey. Last night, one of the investors got me on a call, and he was challenging me on why we're not doing anything on the inventory. So I would like to register with you once again that we are a vertically integrated company. So the 200 plus days that you saw includes the manufacturing inventory and also inventory that we have in our retail space. So it's not like for like when you say that, you know, all the other companies are driving and running with 60 days inventory. So that's the first thing that I wanted to re-register with you once again. And inventory is also something that we need to drive, let's say, improvement while being mindful of the requirement from the business to grow the sales. So we will continue to deliver improvements. So give us another 12 months, you will see a lot of improvements in the inventories. So I can give you a few indicators, for example. I think 12 months ago, when we sat down, let's say, in the investor calls, I think we were faced with a tremendous backorder because of SAP activations and etc. So that was one of the growing pains. At that time, I had close to 3 months backorders that I cannot fulfill because of the launch of SAP and because of a relatively backward supply chain system. Now the back order has come down to 30 days, meaning that, you know, from the time when we receive an order, from the time that we can ship them is 30 days. And also in the last 6 months, After the revamping and also upgrading of the supply chain team in Sakata, we have also doubled the daily dispatch. So we were able to dispatch 3,000 clubs a day in the past, but now we are capable of doing within normal hours 6,000 pieces a day without adding any people. So that's about process, that's about training, that's about rigorous, let's say, implementation of the supply chain values through the whole value chain. So give us some time. I think we wanted to make a careful balance between the growth and also the inventory, and this will come.
For Veronica, so just wondering what's the thinking behind more distribute the wholesale model versus retail, and how do you think about it in different markets, and how does that, if you continue to do more wholesale, and how does that gonna affect your inventory level? We should see it coming down eventually.
So I think the fact that we do more sales with a third-party retailer will indeed, let's say, reduce the inventory because we have fewer products in display in the products. But on the other hand, as we read them, the retail space, we will have bigger branded stores. So for example, the first new store that we are opening in Shinbashi in Japan is going to have 500 square meters. So our usual store is about 100 to 200 square meters. So we have more products to display. So there, I think we wanted to partner more with third-party retailers. Let's say I wanted to mention two things. Not because we want to, let's say, drive down the inventory or et cetera. I think the primary intention is to get closer to the avid and also relevant, let's say, younger golfers, avid golfers, because their, let's say, shopping behaviors and also where they would like to shop are very different. I think they will still come to our shop once they are renovated, but they also have a preference to go to mega stores where they have the chance to compare our products with the others and also take feedbacks from the others. So we don't want to limit ourselves or go back to the original model where we only sell products in our own store because we think we are the only one who can sell home products. And the second thing why we wanted to partner with third-party retailers is because, you know, as we move along, we also wanted to control those data points and also consumer journey. So the third-party retailer stores that we are opening now will come with the branded home image. So we will do a lot more. Actually, we are beefing up the BMD team, the visual merchandising team, trade marketing team, to make sure that first and foremost, we do control the consumer experience, even though the stores are with third-party retailers. We also control the inventory. I mean, we also build a CRM system, which consumers can get onto, let's say one, even if they are purchasing products from third-party retailers. And this is only possible after we have upgraded the new website. I think we are adding a lot of e-commerce capabilities, CRM capabilities to the new website. So I think we are doing more business, but to reach out, I think we are doing more business with third-party retailers to reach out and also to, but we are also not letting those third-party retail sales points to be running, you know, by the retailers alone. We wanted to control the consumer experience and journey as well. I think depending on the markets, in China, for example, those third-party retailers will be actually branded store of us, just like Adidas or Nike. I mean, you wouldn't know that it's not our store, I think, for the apparel. There will be more coming up in, let's say, in the next 12 months.
Yeah. 谈的很多都是 execution level 的这个问题，我问一个战略性的问题。如果我们看这个24页，像有些数据，想跟您探讨一下。这个是2015年的数据，我不知道这个最新的有没有一些改变。我想应该是有改变的。这个第四、第五，这个我讲。 和公司之间的关系或者是怎么样的一个情况？比如说 Bridgestone 是一个日本牌子，它这个club 和这个 apparel 这个之间的比例，然后 Nike 这方面，现在还是这个业务里还是第五，排第五。那它这个市场的份额，它到底有多少是 apparel 还是还有一些 club？ 那我想短期之内 HOVA 去接近前三，可能机会不大。但是如果跟这些 第四、第五啊，或者这些，那从这个你们 launch apparel 这方面的业务，您是怎么看，或者是刘总是怎么去看这3到5年的这个情况？好，那个非常谢谢
Richard， 这个我先把数字的问题说一下，就是战略上，就是刘总对这个品牌未来3年的一个期待是怎么样？ 这第一个是说这个数据的确是2015年的一个数据，这个是我们上市的时候请那个沙利文去做了一个市场的一个调研，我们也的确有这个想法，想在今年全年业绩公布的时候做一个更新，因为就是过去的确也是就是觉得没有做就是事情也比较多，所以也没有做更新。那如果以我们自己的一个判断来说，就这张那个 tornado chart 其实在这个过去3年里面已经有了一个很大的一个变化。那 Acushnet 的这个数字 Acushnet 的这个数字，这个第一个这些都是零售金额，所以它是经过一定的模型以后把第三方的销售就按照它的那个渠道的比例转成了这个零售，所以中间不一定会100%准确。那如果以我们自己在行业里的判断的话， Acushnet 其实还是一个最大的以零售金额来计，但是它跟所有人不一样的是它60%都是一个球的一个销售，它就是一个球的一个公司。那第二和第三名就是 Callaway 跟 TaylorMade 之间，在我们的理解里面它的排名已经有变化，应该是 TaylorMade 下降， Callaway 是上升的。 Callaway 最近的一个上升是基于它在非球杆领域的一个发展，就是特别是服饰方面，它在很多国家做了一些特许品牌的一些销售特许品牌的一些动作，日本特别是，然后呢它也购买了一些就是这个服饰的一些品牌，包括球包的一个品牌，所以它的销售就是内部的包括那个通过那个外部的一些手段其实是有一个很大的增长。 TaylorMade 是因为被出售以后它的销售其实我们觉得是有下降的，应该是说2015年的这个数据跟今天比的话大概会有一个10%-15%的一个下降。那 Bridgestone 其实在那个销售大的上面还是一个比较成功的一个公司，它在日本，但是它的产品最近应该是会有一些消费者会有一些不同的一些评价。那从我们来说就是再说一下耐克，耐克它是在2016年的下半年就是决定退出这个球杆。那其实退出球杆它当时是希望能够聚焦服饰跟球，但是在我们的理解里面球跟服饰的业务下降也很快，因为很多打球的人还是希望能够跟一个全产业链，就是你卖球杆也卖服饰也卖球，他觉得你不是一个真正的一个就是高尔夫球的一个公司，但是耐克其实在其他方面还是增长很快。那从这个真正的一个球杆就是高尔夫领域来说， Dunlop 其实是一个非常成功的一个公司它的这个成功之处在于，第一个它有一个非常好的一个产品，这个产品是深得人心的。我们以前一直说 HOMA 是一个产品优先的一个公司，营销做得不太好，希望现在能够把营销一起做上去，相辅相成。那 Dunlop 是一个产品为先，营销也做得不错。那在日本的话， Dunlop 大概它的市占率是在15%左右，这个也是我们一个学习的一个方向。那从 HOMA 自己来说，我们当然最后要看到这些大的数据，我们是觉得在全球的市场份额我们应该是相对2015年是有一些上升的。那至于未来几年，就是我们希望能够做到前5还是前10，聚焦哪一些行业，我请刘总做一些介绍。
因为刚才提的问题中间有些英文我听不太懂，大概讲
大概知道。其实我们对市场的排名和整个的这个行业第几名我们其实真不在乎，因为第一个我们觉得HOMA现在做的还很小，没有用，做第一都没用。我还是强调赚钱才是真家伙，其他的东西排名没有用。其实讲实话，我们去年 TaylorMade 那个前年了，就是 TaylorMade 的那个收购，我一买了有全球第一，我就是老大，但是有用吗？但是我们一看1亿多的这个美金的这个亏损，全部才7亿不到的销售，原来从14亿划下来的，我们拿到数据一看，我们就不干了。我们求的不是打，还是要踏踏实实的把这个盈利赚上去。因为你排名，我一买2个一家就第一，马上就超过这个卡罗维。但是你有用吗？没有用。我们所以呢，倒过来讲，今天为止的HOMA有什么？有很好的一个品牌。第二个，我们的产品很棒，特别是今年推出来的这个747的系列，是通过日本的工匠的这个沉淀的对产品的理解和那个，加上美国的外观的工业设计，这是我们今年的这个产品的最大的一个优势，就是既保持了日本的产品的文化的东西，又加上了美国是处于全球真正创新的一些这个理念和要素。所以我们的产品的这个中间，比如说我们一号木球头本来是一个都是整个都是金属的，我们上面是碳纤维， 就减轻它整个的这个重量。那么呢，这样的话，在美国和日本的这个设计的叠加加上，我们现在签了最这个全球 number one 的这个球手的一些推广，这个东西就是马上就会就是有起这个起跑的这个道路这个线路就有了。所以呢，我们还是讲实话，还是很务实的做企业的，这种不求大，不谈排名，我就做好自己的企业，因为太小了。我们这个真的是这个销售规模，就是说有完全可以做大的空间啊。好，谢谢。
好，那由于时间关系，我们现在是有请最后一个提问吧。So due to the time limit, let's welcome the last question.
Thank you. If I could just squeeze in maybe two questions.Firstly, you talk in the results announcement about capacity expansion of 50% at Sakura. So maybe you can talk about that. You know, what does that really mean? Because I think you said earlier you doubled the dispatch of clubs from 3,000 to 6,000 a day without adding any craftsmen. Does that mean you're becoming more automated? And maybe you can talk about kind of a capex number there. And secondly, just on that wholesale retail mix, obviously it's heavily skewed this year to...wholesale, where do you see it going longer term? Because now you're talking about, you know, having revisited the retail store network, recalibrating, opening these larger flagship stores. So just to understand where you think that mix goes over time, and also the store economics associated with these larger flagship stores, presumably there's quite a lot of investment goes in, kind of what do the economics look like?
Well, thank you, Jeremy. So maybe I'll take your questions first, and then I'll ask Mr. Liu whether he has anything to add on. Okay, so on the capacity in Sakata, I think a lot of you have been concerned with the continued sales growth and the capability of Sakata to meet the, let's say, demand requirements. I think over the last 3 years, we have been continuously investing into Sakata in that we are adding a lot of automated machine.I think three and a half years ago, when I joined this company, for example, in the shop making, it's 100% manual. Now it's close to, I would say, 50 in terms of value add, automated. So by automating a lot of the processes that are not really dependent on human hands, we are able to reallocate the craftsmen to processes that are truly dependent on human hands, for example, final assembly. But this is a continued process, so CapEx,I think reallocating of the, let's say, the human hands. And also, I think with SAP being activated, we are also capable of looking into each and every aspect of the operation in Sakata. For example, in the past, let's say, production planning is done on a daily basis with 4 dedicated people, and then yet not being able to 100% tally with, let's say, sales plan, also demand plan.But today we are doing that, you know, by just one person on a weekly basis, but then for every order that comes in up to that point in time. So these are the efficiencies that we are also improving. We have also been looking into, let's say, the bottleneck processes, which is the shop rolling. There will be additional, let's say, CapEx investments, there will be additional process improvements, and we are very confident that by summer next year, we should be able to scale up the capacity in Sakata by 50%.So this is also thanks to a continued effort to recruit, let's say, top supply chain manufacturing, let's say, FTEs into Sakata. We have, in the last 6 months, added the head of the supply chain, who is a Japanese coming from TaylorMade. We have also added the head of Sakata. That Swasan is still there, but we are adding someone very, very experienced with manufacturing, you know, to basically drive the manufacturing process improvements.And then to your second question of the, I think, future footprint, I'm actually very keen to see the modeling myself as well. But it's a very dynamic, let's say, discussion as we are doing this in almost 3 countries at the same time, US, China, and also Japan. So if you would ask me, I'm not expecting a big shift of the channel mix. So I would be still expecting 40% from retail, 60% from wholesale.To be tested though, because we are working out and also overlaying the various, let's say, business plans from the different markets together. So I would say still safely for the next 2 years, 40-60. On the store economics, you are right. I think the new stores will come with investments. So the biggest store, for example, will come with an investment of 3 to 5 million. So fixtures, CNY, I'm not talking about US, just 3 to 5 million. But that's basically the flagship store, what it takes. But this is including, let's say, the renovation fixture plus multimedia, because we will be using a lot more multimedia and they come with a cost. But the multimedia cost can be amortized over different stores. So the initial pickup will be actually amortized over time as well. So we will still look at, let's say, profitability on a store level. Internally, our group guidance is that every store will have to break even in year two. So regardless of whether this is a flagship store or whether this is a community store, so year two, they will have to break even. So that's the overall, let's say, guidance that we are giving. So this is also very much going back to what Ms. Liu just said. I think we wanted to grow, but we wanted to grow profitably. So I think in terms of CapEx for the current financial year, it will be around 500 Japanese yen. That's primarily, let's say, for the Sakata factory, including some minor investments into the store. The new store, let's say, CapEx will actually happen towards the end of this year. And then by the time when we sit down, we will give you a very clear outline for the next 2 years. So today we are still a bit premature because we are sensitizing all the different P&Ls, making the plans, and etc. So for the US, for example, I think for you, those of you that are very concerned, I think the annual P&L impact from those CapEx investments will be around maximum $2 million. So that's based on the plan that we have worked out with Mark King and his team.
And the CapEx for factory almost done?
It will be a continued investment because the CapEx is actually for maintenance. So what you depreciate every year, you will have to reinvest. Otherwise, you will lose, let's say, productivity. So that will continue. Our annual depreciation is about 300 million Japanese yen, if I'm not mistaken. So we will continue to reinvest to make sure that the machinery will run at the current capacity. And then on top, we will add additional investment to improve the efficiency and also to accommodate additional capacity requirements.
And the ambassador, you only, the PJ ambassador, you only officially announce in January, or?
Yes, so we are announcing him on January, so there will be a major event. We will, let's say, keep you informed. For those of you who are going to be in the US, very welcome. So there will be a opening on the 12th of January in LA at the Riviera. So we are really blasting out emails to our investors in the US and also customers, reserve the date. So anytime when you are there, just let us know. Yeah, you're from San Francisco, so more than welcome.
好，由于时间关系，那今天我们的业绩会就到这里了。那在之后呢，我们可以继续进行各种一对一或者是小组的交流。那欢迎大家随时联系我或者 Veronica。谢谢大家。
好，谢谢现在的分析师和其他朋友。
非常感谢。那今天就到这儿，感谢大家。
好，谢谢大家。